This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Chris Horner, senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute here in Washington. He's also the author recently of Power Grab, How Obama's Green Policies Will Steal Your Freedom and Bankrupt America. We want to get his reaction to some of the comments the president had at today's press conference in reaction to the administration's handling of the oil crisis in the Gulf of Mexico. And Chris, it's always great to have you with us.
Thank you, Greg, very much.
Well, two of the things that the president said today we had been tipped off were coming. Number one is that he wants a six-month moratorium on new leases for offshore drilling. And he also canceled a few, some in the Gulf of Mexico and also off the coast of Virginia. What do you make of those, especially coming from a president who just a number of weeks ago said he wanted to expand that number of leases?
Right. What you're seeing here is the president's true colors, in that he had been clear he didn't want offshore exploration or production, even though we have enormous resources. The U.S. sits on the world's largest energy resources. A few weeks ago, he actually had, in essence, de facto reimposed moratoria while claiming he was opening areas. He actually was just opening some areas for future consideration in the next five-year plan beginning in 2 years. In other words, he didn't open anything. It's technically been open for 18 months. So today, he was actually sealing off leases that had been underway. And he was saying no new production shall be conducted. Well, look, again, if the concern was about offshore drilling, he would be concerned about the ongoing operations. And we have thousands of wells. You have to understand that offshore drilling has about a 40-year very good track record. And the company at the root of this particular Gulf incident has a terrible track record. This isn't really an offshore drilling issue. It's a BP issue. So I'm afraid the president rather cynically took advantage of something to impose a policy he was in support of but didn't want to be openly of support of until now. He thinks he has cover. That's my take.
Do you have the belief that he'll ever lift the moratorium?
I don't think he will ever lift it in any meaningful way. He may take it out of a de jure sense. But again, he's made clear there will be no new offshore permitting under his watch. The question is whether the things that were in the pipeline, so to speak, when he took office are going to be allowed to proceed. And at present, the answer is no.
We're talking with Chris Horner of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. His new book is Power Grab. And Chris, the president also today is saying that while oil drilling is a necessary part of a transition to a clean energies economy, this disaster is yet another telltale sign that we've got to get moving in a serious way towards clean, renewable energies, and he says that means members of both parties need to get behind his climate change bill that's up on Capitol Hill. What do you make of him tying the two issues together, and is there really any traction for the legislation right now?
I think it's actually rather unseemly because the government doesn't force technological innovation. The government will not defeat those stubborn laws of physics. We are in what's called the hydrocarbon age or fossil fuels because that's what works. We left the solar and wind age 150 years ago because it didn't work, and it doesn't now. So he's trying to essentially impose, say, a form of energy rationing through this climate bill that, no, I don't think has any traction, but will undergo death throes in the next 2-8 weeks. But in the name of essentially, you're greedy, you'll figure it out. If I regulate out of existence that which works, you'll find something else. But the history of industrial society is that there is tremendous incentive to find an alternative, but for now we have something that works at a very cost-effective level, spectacularly, and liberated the economy with the Industrial Revolution. The state doesn't force technological revolution. Markets do.
Chris, in terms of the president's strategy here, another push, of course, has been to open up exploration on land, whether just regular drilling or through shale. Any sense that, given the fact that there wouldn't be such a huge spill on land exploration, that he's got any interest in that whatsoever?
No. In fact, they've declared open war on all energy sources that work. He's declared war on coal through his cap-and-trade scheme, which he said would bankrupt coal. That was his objective, in addition to causing your electricity rates to necessarily skyrocket, which he said, that's a quote, was a good thing, because his worldview is that energy leads to all sorts of social costs, that is, suburban living, automobility, roads, and things that come with that. He's declared war on Appalachian coal mining in the name of the mayfly, a bug that lives 24 hours, putting a bug over people. Declared war on on shale gas, if you can believe it, trying to grab it through EPA, even though it's been productively and safely produced for 60 years, regulated at the state level, and he's still chasing off oil shale as something we can't pursue and keeping Canadian tar sands out of our market. He's a very, very anti-energy president. This is not about doing things more safely on shore or even in shallow water, as opposed to driving us into deep water. This is about forcing us off of energy, because energy provides you freedom.
We're talking with Chris Horner. And Chris, obviously a lot of the basis for the president's agenda here is the ongoing concern in many circles over perceived climate change. And I know that the Competitive Enterprise Institute has just filed a lawsuit against NASA. Explain what that's all about and what you hope they will have to reveal at some point.
Okay, we have had a 3-year running battle with NASA trying to get them to provide the public access to internal discussions about being caught sexing up the temperature record in the United States. And in the few things we have wrenched from them when they were on occasion embarrassed thanks to news coverage of our pursuit or we won on administrative appeal, we have learned very revealing things, like the NASA actually doesn't have a temperature historical record. They were using the one that was produced in the United Kingdom that has been withdrawn. And meanwhile, it was declared to be one of four, the two of four independent temperature data sets. So we now know that's a myth, and NASA doesn't have one. They're just a modeling office. However, we also learned, and we're going to find out more thanks to this lawsuit, that NASA is running, out of NASA, at the taxpayer expense, a third-party, supposedly outside independent advocacy website, which is serving as the hub for the media and the advocacy, the global warming agenda advocacy movement called Real Climate. It turns out it's being run by taxpayer fund scientists on taxpayer time using taxpayer resources, but keeping their work clearly on behalf of the taxpayers, so they say, away from the taxpayers' view. So we have already gotten NASA to admit that these are, in fact, agency documents, James Hansen's documents, a guy named Gavin Schmidt. They have been hiding things at this Real Climate in their so-called private email accounts and at Columbia University. They've now acknowledged these are the public's documents. They just refused to provide them. They're going to have to make that explanation to a court now in Washington, and we look forward to that.
Chris, last question, last 60 seconds here. We've talked to a couple of climatologists who are also very skeptical of the climate change argument, at least in the way that it's being portrayed on the left politically. And they say basically there's an urgency of extreme proportions here, because they realize that given the climate gate situation and just climate data that we've seen over the past decade or so, that their window of opportunity is running out, perhaps no later than the end of the 4 years of the Obama administration. Would you agree with that?
I think that they have a very limited window. Time is on our side in that as long as the sky remains where we left it and the beaches remain where we left them, and that's the case, their thesis continues to be less than a hypothesis. It's losing plausibility over the time. We're spending billions of taxpayer dollars to make a case that they've now acknowledged through ClimateGate they can't make. Their argument's gotten no better. It's barely a hypothesis now. If they're going to make this happen, it's got to happen this year, is what I understand is the left's perspective, and it is a political, not a scientific issue. And we're going to see two votes in the Senate this year, beginning June 10th, on whether we allow them to do this, either through the back door, that's the June 10th vote, or through legislation, that's the Carrie Lieberman vote expected in July. They probably know they must act now, or this thing is dead. It will be the fourth time it failed in the Senate, and I suggest that's quits.
Chris, a lot we'll keep track of up on the Hill, as well as in your ongoing legal battle. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Chris Horner is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. His latest book is Power Grab: How Obama's Green Policies Will Steal Your Freedom and Bankrupt America. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.